cross. No cross, no heaven. It's all what Jesus did. You know what brought to mind as they were singing that picture that's been painted, depicted, where it has a bunch of people on at the border of a cliff, and then there's another cliff on the other side, and there's the glories of heaven on this side, and there's no way across except for this bridge in the shape of a cross. And any other way leads down into the fires of hell. It's a great picture because it depicts a truth from the Bible. There's no way to heaven outside of the cross. If you can claim today, I know I'm going to heaven, it's because you came by way of the cross. You place your faith and your trust in what Jesus did, not what you do. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. It's been said that the greatest bridge ever built took just three nails and two pieces of wood. Amen? The bridge between man and their God. Hallelujah. Well, I trust you're saved this morning. If you're not, you can be. I want to talk this morning about love. Well, it's Valentine's Day. Amen? Yeah. And by the way, the cross is a picture of love. That God loved you. What a wonderful picture. I'm talking about love. You know, Valentine's Day, man, you're all set, all ready for Tuesday? You got something for the little woman? May I encourage you? Don't wait till the last minute. Because I have found that doesn't work very well. Jeff asked me this morning, would it be all right, preacher, if I reuse the card from last year? I counseled him, no. Yeah, if you want longevity of marriage, then turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Our scripture reading by Pastor Tom earlier was read here, several verses. We're going to start at verse 1. We'll be launching from here because this is a great, it's referred to as the chapter of love. Charity, another word for love. You person of love? Does that, you know, I use the word exude. So Thursday night we had a lesson on love, and we defined this word exude. Do you know what it means to exude? Let me read this to you. I got it here. Exude, to ooze out, to spread out in all directions, to display conspicuously or abundantly. Is that a picture of you? I know it's of Jesus. He exuded love. And we're his children. We're children of the King. God's love ought to just ooze out of us. It ought to be conspicuous. Ought to be evident. The love of God. We're to resemble the Father in our human relationships. So often the little fella will look like his daddy. And maybe it's the mannerisms or whatnot. There should be some resemblance of dad or mom. Well, the born-again child of God ought to resemble the Father. Talk about love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. So Paul here speaking to this Corinthian church, the believers in Corinth. And he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, have not love, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. What's he saying? I'm just making noise. If I'm not operating out of love, and I could speak with the tongue of angels, but if there's no love here, you're just making noise. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Imagine that. He's talking about such faith that you would move a mountain. I've never moved a mountain. I've not got, I guess, that level of faith. But I can tell you that if you had that level of faith and you have not love, it is as nothing. That's what the Bible's saying. This, by the way, is all coming from a God who is love. The Bible says, plainly, God is love. Verse 3, And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity, as was read before, charity, love, suffereth long. You know what that means? A lot of patience. A lot of patience. You suffer, you can endure. Motivated by love. You know, my wife, she puts up with me. She suffereth long because she loves me. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. It's not all about self. That's the wrong kind of love. Self-love. Selfishness. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity or sins. There's no rejoicing there. But rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Love prevails. Man, if you've got the love of God in your heart and in your life, you are a victorious Christian. And you're a joy to be around. Now, in truth, we're not always there. We're human. We err. But God always there to forgive us and get us back up on our feet. That God of love they were talking about. Now on Tuesday, if you go into the town of Portland at all, you will see displayed, taped to every window and all the businesses around, hundreds, if not thousands, of hearts. They call it the Valentine Bank Bandit. The Bandit. So I think he's got a team. He can't do this all in one night. Santa Claus could. He can't. But he must have a team or something. And they must, I don't know how many copies it must run off. 8x10 page. It's got the big red heart in it. And they are everywhere. If you don't live in Portland, you never go down there, do it on Tuesday and see if I'm not telling the truth. They are everywhere. Why does he use a heart? It's notable. It depicts love. St. Patrick's Day. What's the symbol for that? Four-leaf clover, you know. Christmas. I mean, for the world, they probably use candy cane. For the Christian, it's nativity scene. They're a symbol, symbolic. The heart is symbolic. This morning, I want to talk about the heart and love. The heart and love. The heart defined. What do we mean when we say the heart? Heart, this is the definition. It denotes the inner man, the essence of personality, the seat and center of life. It is the real you, your heart. And truth, no thinking goes on here. And in truth, the heart, to a doctor, it's the blood pump. There's no real emotion and caring that goes on in here. It's up in here. But we use that word, that term, to denote love. I don't tell my wife I love you with all my brain. Just lack something. But in truth, that's where it's coming from. The psychological term of nearest equivalency to the old English word heart is that of ego. Psychological term. You know, psychology, if you study that, you'll learn of the I, the self, the person, ego. We're talking about the biblical term. The term heart is used in practical sense to describe the center or root of something, as in the heart of the earth, the heart of the problem, the heart of an apple, the center, that which is central. The heart of man represents that innermost center, which is of ultimate importance, that which is basic, central, substantive, and of profound essence. It is the seat of emotions. It's who you really are and what you really care about, what your value system is. The word heart occurs 955 times in the Bible. I counted them. No, I didn't. Throughout the Bible, there's a consistency of treatment with its use, the word heart, in the Bible. So, a few points now, a few areas of where the heart, love, is to be employed. And the first one we're going to talk about is the heart and love in marriage. You love your spouse? Does your spouse love you? Hope so. Does it show? Is there a display? Do you exude love? Does it ooze out of you for the other one? Erwin Lutzer provides this bit of humor. I think I've read this before. Perhaps you've read the story about a man and a wife who came to a pastor and said, "We're getting a divorce because we've come just because we want your approval." There are people who come to the pastor hoping that they, when they say that there is no feelings left in the marriage, that the pastor will say, "Well, if there's no feelings left, then the only thing you could do is split." Okay, that's a whole nother discussion. But let me tell you something. Love, Bible love, is not about fuzzy feelings. Emotions and fuzzy feelings can accompany true biblical love. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. Action. It doesn't say God so loved that he felt fuzzy and warm. True love is you demonstrate it to your spouse. It's not about you or your you squaw, me chief, you serve me, take care of me. That's not love, that's love of self. That's not biblical love. Anyhow, the story continues, Erwin Lutzer's story. Well, if there's no feeling left, the pastor says, then the only thing to do is split. Well, that's what they thought they'd hear from the pastor. The pastor didn't give that in counsel. He said, the Bible says, and that's a good place to go, isn't it not? For counsel, for wisdom. The Bible says you're to love your wife as Jesus loved the church. He responded, "Oh, I can't do that." The pastor then says, "Well, if you can't begin at that level, then begin at a lower level. The Bible says you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Can you at least love her as you would your neighbor?" The husband says, "No, that's still too high a level." The pastor scratches his head. He says, "The Bible says love your enemies. Could you start there?" That's a joke. What does it mean when we say, "I love her with my whole heart"? We're saying that she is held in affection in the deepest part of your being, the very seat of your emotions. Ephesians 5:25, the Bible tells us, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. God so loved, he gave. Jesus gave his life for the church. Love. That's what should be in our homes, in our relationships, husbands and wives. The love should be demonstrated. It's one of giving, not taking. It goes beyond emotions. Her life is so entwined with yours that you've, in essence, become one. Your hearts are knit together. The Bible tells us in Genesis 2:24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." In the New Testament, Matthew 19:5, "And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain, two, shall be one flesh." You become one. You're so intertwined. And she knows you like no other. My wife knows me through and through. And she's going to stay with me. Well, hallelujah. In spite of me. The marriage relationship requires trust, faith in each other. And probably one of the most important facets of the marriage relationship is communication, how you communicate with one another. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. Communication is so essential in all relationships, but certainly none greater than that with your husband, your wife. How is your communication with your wife? Does it demonstrate love? Is it kind? Is it tender? Is it selfless? Is it directed at her or him instead of self? Norman Wright said this, "Listening intently when it comes to communication with one's mouth shut is a basic communication skill needed in marriages." It is a time to just be quiet, be willing to listen, to have patience. I know at times that I will do all the talking. It's all right. And I think for a woman more than a man, she wants communication. I said this before, one of the best blessings I could give my wife is to sit down, look at her eye to eye, and she listened. I listened to her, and we talk. Communication demonstrates love. If it's love for her, I want to love as Jesus loved the church. It's been said anonymously, of the friction of daily life is caused by the wrong tone of voice. We talked about that in Sunday school. Communication, the tone, how the volume can rise when people's emotions get a little bit flustered and whatnot. And how horrible that is in a home. When a conversation with a husband and wife all of a sudden begins to get louder and louder, and even shouting at each other. Children there, all upset, distressed inside, because mom and daddy are fighting. That's not love. We're told in the Bible, love. Love your wife. Love your husband. Love is action, kindness, forgiveness, being understanding. These proceed from the heart, from the innermost being. For your husband, for your wife. Valentine's Day is a good day, a good time, special time to express your love to your mate. It's also a good time to evaluate your contribution to the relationship. Have I been living like she is the center of my heart, the center of my life, the center of my being, outside of Jesus Christ? Or have I grown accustomed to her just being there, cooking and taking care of things? And I'm fine with that. That's not love. Unless it's of self. I'm content. I'm satisfied. I'm in the easy chair. Could you bring me my lunch? How selfish. You know what's happening to the marriage? No spark anymore. How about following Jesus' lead? Love her as he loved the church. Demonstrate it. Show it. Talk. Give her time. Listen. And it's a two-way street, husband and wife together. 1 Corinthians 13, we read, verse 4 again, charity suffereth long, is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You see, it's not all about me. If I say I love my wife, it's not about me. It's about her. And vice versa. This Valentine's Day, do yourself a favor. Put your mate back where she belongs, deep in the center of your heart. Be a blessing to you. Love, heart and love in marriage. What about the heart and love in the family? Outside of mom and dad, the husband and wife. You're remembering the Valentine's there. There was a legend where this fellow Valentine sent these messages from his prison window out to everybody. And he sent them not just to his wife, he sent them to all his loved ones. Valentine's Day is a good time to express your love from the heart to your children. When was the last time you told your teen that you loved him, that you loved her? It's important. They need to hear it. Well, they know. They need to hear it. It needs to be communicated. Teenager, when was the last time you said to mom and dad, I love you? When's the last time you said that to your brother or your sister? Communicate it and demonstrate it. It's about love. Not just with the husband and wife, but in the home, the family. Parents with their children, children with their parents, with one another. It takes effort. God so loved that he gave. It's not a simple thing. Jesus agonized on the cross. Sometimes it takes a lot to give. But that's the picture, the true picture of biblical love. And sometimes we just need to be reminded. It's not that we hate one another, But remind us from the Word of God to love it to others and to show it. You need to make a personal commitment to express to your love to your family, to your spouse, every day. Every day. In Titus chapter 2, verse 4, it says this, that they may teach the young woman, speaking of the older women, the mature women, who have lived life, who have had some experience. Teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. We're not talking about a fuzzy feeling again. You can't command emotions. You don't teach emotions. They come naturally because we're emotional beings. No, you teach them to demonstrate love for your husband, for your children. Luke chapter 1, verse 17 speaks of John the Baptist and part of his ministry. It says, and he shall go before him in the spirit of power and a power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. How important is dad in the home? As leader, guider, the one who loves and demonstrates love, provider, protector with love. We're warned in the Bible in Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You got to love them. You can't just tell them what to do all the time. You got to spend time with them. Talk with them. Laugh with them. Cry when they cry with them. Demonstrate your love. You really care. Their life matters. It takes time. There's an old adage that says, home is where the heart is. Ask yourself, does your home hold a sweet and special place in the hearts of your family members? If not, what are you going to do about it? Well, Bible instructs us, put more time in communication. Give. That's true love. So talk about the heart, love in the marriage relationship. You love your spouse, love your children. How about love and the heart in the church? You know, the Bible depicts the church as a family. And indeed, we're going to have a family meal together in a little bit. Some time to demonstrate love. It's not about how much you can get in your plate. And if you got the dessert, you were looking. You had your eye on. I'm not saying it's bad. I am saying the main focus is giving to others. Loving others. And you're so much more blessed when you're a giver than if you're a taker. I want to be first in line. Oh, I hope I get to that plate. Goodness gracious, you're there for the wrong reason. It's a time to be a family together, to love one another. And visitors, man, I want you to come over. You say, well, I didn't bring anything. We got plenty. You're our guests. We want to sit down and get to know you, chat with you, make you feel like part of the family. Church family is a gift from God. We need to love one another. Can you say that the love in your heart for the members of your church family spills out for everyone to see, you know, exudes? Is it obvious? They just love being here. They love talking, interacting. They just love being with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's awesome. It's a gift of God. It should be love. And we enjoy that at Grace Baptist Church. It's been wonderful. I've shared with you before, I have pastor friends, and it's not the same in all the churches. There can be some divisions. And this group will only sit over here, and this group will only sit here, and they'll never cross paths. You know, like, you know, they're more righteous than the other. That must make God sick. There should be love in the church family, one for another. And we've got that. We're blessed, thankful to God for it. Demonstrate it. Another opportunity across the way. Andrew Murray said, my relationship with God is part of my relationship with men. failure in one will cause failure in the other. That's so true. You can't say you love God and hate your brother. In fact, the Bible tells us, 1 John 4, verse 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. God's directed me. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. I'm not talking about warm, fuzzy feelings. I'm talking about giving, demonstrating, manifesting love. You get the fuzzy feelings because you do it. Elton Trueblood said this, how do I want to be remembered? Not primarily as a Christian scholar, but rather as a loving person. This can be the goal of every individual, he says. What a good goal, to be a loving person. God so loved that he gave, that we would give of ourselves, we give of our time, we give of our ear, give to supply needs, because we care. It's from the heart. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. That means you're saved. You pass from hell to heaven. We know that this. How? He says, because we love the brethren. God puts his love in us, and we have a love for others. I can honestly say I love every single one of you. I've said it before, I'll say it again. But it's not because I'm a great loving guy. It's because the love of God that's in me, that love of God is what's coming out. He endears you to me. It's the love of God. We should love our brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You know what unfeigned means? It's not fake. It's not a put on. It's real. It's genuine. Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's God's direction. It was a command to love one another. Because it's action. God does never require what he does not provide for. When he says to love, he's not talking again about the emotions and fuzzy feelings. Those come naturally. See, they come or they don't come. It's a natural thing. God does not command you to have fuzzy feelings, but he does command you to love. A demonstration of care, a demonstration to others, not self. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Serve one another. Minister to one another. We have that opportunity to go across the way. Ministering. It's not about what I'm going to get. It's not about what anybody would tell me this, that, kind words. I'm not looking for what I will hear or what I will see or what I will get. It's what I can give. Because that's what Jesus would do if he went across. And we're to be more like him, aren't we? And not only should we demonstrate love towards those in the church, but also for the institution itself of the church. Christ instituted the church. And we do that by faithfulness, in attendance, in serving, in giving, in prayer. Maybe we need to work in some of these areas with our spouses, our families, our church. Again, Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave his life for the church. We ought to love the church and the brethren inside. Is your church and the people in it a matter of love in your heart? Love your spouse, love your family, love your church. One more. And I suppose this should have been number one. Your heart and love for God. for God. P.T. Forsyth said this, "It is possible to be so active in the service of Christ as to forget to love Him." I mean, we can be so busy. We shake a hand, we show love here and there. We sing in the choir. We had choir practice. I got to work in the nursery. I got to teach a Sunday school. We're busy for God. We lose sight of who we're serving, why we're doing it. We need to be on guard for that. Love God. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" The same as for you and I. "But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul." He's number one. If you've got that and that's active in your life, doing stuff is not an issue. It's not a burden. There's no Christian burnout when you're doing it because you love him. Deuteronomy 30, verse 16. "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." God blesses his faithful, loving, obedient children. And this idea of losing sight sometimes, there's a warning to one of the churches, of the seven churches that were addressed in the book of Revelation. Revelation 2:1, the Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write," verse 4 says this, "Nevertheless," and he gives all kinds of accolades. This church was a good church in Ephesus. But he says this, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." There's an issue. I got something with, you've done this, you're faithful, you're this, you hate evil, all these good things. "Nevertheless, because thou hast left thy first love." "You forgot about me," he says. It's good that you're doing this. It's good you're reaching people for Christ. It's good you're serving and loving one another. It's good that you're serving and ministering. But don't forget me. Why are you doing it? He had that indictment against this very, very good church. We got to be careful that we don't get lost in that. Hey, every day, tell Jesus you love him and you're thankful for him. And whatever comes that day, you want to be pleasing in his sight. You want to do it for him. You need his help. "Help me, Lord. Help me to manifest a husband's life to my wife, love to my wife, love to my children and grandchildren, and so forth, to my brothers and sisters in Christ, to people out there who don't know Christ. Tell them about Jesus." Psalm 18, verses 1 to 3. We're getting ready to close. It says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." I will love thee, O Lord, every day, not just Sunday morning. Revolutionize your life. Serve him out of love. Ephesians 6:7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So, how about it this morning? Is your heart overflowing with love this morning? Is that a good description of you and your life? Do you love people? Do you enjoy people? Do they enjoy you? Do you like being around you? Because love exudes from you. It oozes from you. It spreads out to all directions. It's displayed conspicuously and abundantly. I mean, we're drawn to those people. The love of God in someone's life. And it's for every single one of us to be a person of love. Consider this morning again your spouse, your children, other family, your church family, and the world around us. Do they see you as being a person of love? Whatever is in our hearts will determine what our actions are, how we live, what our agendas are. And does your communication relay a message of love? Maybe it is an area of need. God, help me to be more sensitive, kinder with my wife, with my children. Have time for them. Communicate with them. Love them. For a Christian, every day should be a Valentine's Day. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I trust our ears and our hearts were open. What'd God say to you today? What'd God say to you?